Welcome to Because I Want to Know, the podcast where I interview guests about their crazy, unique occupations or life experiences. I'm your host, Leslie Fear. So let's get into it, shall we? Hey everyone, today I'm joined with Pam Mueller, and she is a dream interpreter. I found her on TikTok, you guys know me, and guys, I love her content. She goes on lives and talks to people about their dreams and what they mean and what she thinks they could mean, all the things above. So Pam, welcome to the show.
Leslie, thanks so much. I'm so excited to finally be here. It's a good conversation we're about to have.
I know. Listen, I tell you, when I saw you on lives, I think that's the first time I ever saw you. I saw some videos of what you did. And so can you tell me what kind of got you involved in this, and then we'll kind of go from there?
Yeah, sure. Dreams were not always a part of my life. I want to say I grew up normal.
Yeah, right.
And now I do this.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, I was an elementary school teacher when I got out of college. So I had like a regular track in life. And then, you know, like things do happen. We hit a rough spot in my life where we started trying to conceive and we ran into infertility problems. Mm-hmm. And then at the same time that that was happening, I realized I didn't want to be a teacher anymore. And I just didn't really know what in the world my life was going to be because, you know, home life and work life were sort of collapsing at the same time.
Yeah, sure.
And dreams emerged for me unexpectedly as this fun little interesting part of my life that somehow didn't make me sad and depressed and scared.
Right.
Yeah. Tricky little fun thing. And I started pretending like, oh, well, you know, I can't make sense of my life. Let's just pretend for a little bit that I can make sense of my dreams.
Right? I know. Well, listen, you know, it's up to anyone's interpretation, obviously. So, but I love the fact that when people say, hey, what does me walking into a classroom naked? People have those kinds of dreams all the time, or going or chomping down and losing all your teeth. Or like I always had my purse. I do it on purpose. Like I dream all the time. I don't do it as much anymore, that I would just leave my purse and somebody would steal my purse. And then now it's gotten to where I purposely leave it to see if it's there anymore. And I'm like, what am I doing?
That's a fascinating development. Yeah. So let's jump in a little bit then to some of the basic things, okay. Right? Because the thing about dreams, and really just to kind of touch back on my story, once I started like poking around, I was like, wait a minute, this is making sense. Like, that's not what I was taught.
Right.
Dreams make sense, you know? So on the very, very basic level, what we're trying to do with our dreams is we want to record them, and then we want to reflect on, like, how is this dream a representation of my life right now?
Okay.
That's the very basic psychological approach to dream work, is how is this random story that my mind dreamt up for me a metaphor for what's going on in my life right now?
Right.
So that's kind of the basic psychological Jungian approach. And then further than that, you can take the interpretation like into all of these different layers, because dreams have this amazing capacity to, at the same time they're telling me something psychological about my life, they're also maybe telling me something precognitive that's going to happen the next day, or they're introducing a concept that I'm actually going to need to use for years from now.
Oh, nice.
So the depth of dreams can really go as far as you're willing to explore.
Yeah.
And trying to figure out where to meet people is really tricky, because some people are already into some really crazy stuff and they want to talk about, you know, the stuff that's not provable, the astral projection, the visitation dreams.
Yeah.
And other people are like, I don't know, Pam, convince me that a dream makes a difference in my life.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, I gravitate, obviously, you know me, toward a little bit more of the metaphysical, the paranormal. And hey, do we astral project? Yes. Do we actually leave our bodies when we dream? And I think kind of in that respect, anything's kind of possible maybe. But what do you think about that?
Yeah. So, and I would imagine that your dreamers are kind of primed for that as well. Of like, well, let's get into the mystical piece of it. Right.
Yeah.
So I have like this list of 10 principles of dream interpretation that kind of give us the framework of, let's agree upon these 10 things.
Yeah.
And then we can dive into the work. Right. So one of them is that dreams use a language to convey meaning.
Okay.
And that language would be symbols.
Mm.
So the same way that you run into, you know, a synchronicity in waking life and you're like, that's a symbol for something. That's a sign of something.
Yeah.
The same way that messages are used, that's how they communicate to us, is by way of symbols, right?
Okay.
Another one is going to be that all dreams mean something.
Mm.
So if you're trying to learn a language, then any opportunity to practice that language is going to teach you something.
Right.
So any dream, no matter the complexity or the simplicity of it, like if you just wake up and you go, I dreamt of a great chair, that means something. There's some symbolism of that chair that has something to do with your waking life.
Right.
So that's kind of the starting point. But one of those principles is that dreams contain miracles. Mm. They just do. They just do. When we go to sleep, our ego waking mind is not in control anymore. And the unconscious is the place where we are interconnected. Mm. It's the great, you know, field of consciousness. It's the great oneness.
Yeah.
And so there are miracles and there's information you won't otherwise know that can seep in through the dream space. So yeah. Astral projection is sort of that same experience of course, I can't tell you as the dreamer what your experience was. I can't tell you if it was astral projection or not, because it doesn't matter. It wasn't for me. It wasn't
true.
My yeah. experience, right? Yeah. It was yours. And so one of the things that's true in my practice is that dreams are from you, they're to you, and they're for only you. Mm. So a lot of the work that I do is convincing people that they can believe their hunches.
Because, you know, just the normal, like with like a basic dream, like walking into a classroom naked, what would that symbolize in your mind?
Yeah. So when we were talking about just a normal dream, that's a common experience for all of us. The first thing that I would look at is, again, like I said, like, how is this a representation of my life right now?
Okay.
How am I feeling naked and exposed walking into a learning environment? Mm. So where in my waking life am I, you know, kind of in a position of learning and feeling vulnerable or feeling underprepared? That's not the right word. Underprotected,
yeah,
really.
Yeah, that makes sense.
The other place that we would go with a dream like that is, and I would do this with any dream, is how do you, the dreamer, feel? Because dreams ultimately kind of contextualize an emotion that has been suppressed or that we haven't fully finished processing from waking life. And so you can actually track the dream back to its waking life trigger by thinking about what was the feeling tone of the dream. Mm. And the more specific you can get, like putting it into your own words, how you felt, the more easily you're going to be able to go, actually, I have felt that way recently.
Right.
And then it'll be some random, seemingly unconnected life event, but the feeling is the thing that's going to connect it.
That makes such good sense because, you know, I wake up sometimes and I don't feel like I've dreamt at all. And I think every night we dream a lot, don't you think?
Yes, 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 we do actually. You go through like 6 to 7 cycles of dreaming every night.
Oh, wow.
So it's just a matter of us not remembering them. We usually remember the ones that we wake up from.
Exactly. But why do you think we don't, I mean, our subconscious probably does remember them, but why do you think we don't consciously remember our dreams?
Well, it is because when we wake up, our ego mind takes over.
That
and
makes
the
sense.
The your waking mind uses a whole different control system than your sleeping mind does, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So the dreams that are happening while we're asleep, it's like the continuation of our thinking and processing, but through the lens of the unconscious.
Right, right.
So a remembered dream is this gift of being able to see what our unconscious mind is doing at night while we're sleeping.
Gotcha. Let me ask you this. What do you think about someone who's in a coma? And do they dream or do they have the capacity to dream, do you think?
Here's what I will say about that. There have been reports of consciousness while someone is in a coma.
Yeah.
I believe every one of them. I believe every one of them.
I do too.
And there has been some recent evidence. There was a book that came out this past year about potentially that dreams are an output of what's called the default network of your mind, which the default mode network is the neurological system that is active when you're daydreaming or not focused on something. So I don't know. I would say if somebody's in a coma and we don't have their report of whether or not they're dreaming, I would say, are those aspects of the neural
right.
network active? And if they are, then yeah, I would say dreaming can enter into that space.
Well, I totally agree with you because I've heard people say, hey, I remember you talking to me when I was in a coma. I've heard people say that. I've also heard, and I've talked about this on the podcast, you may have heard it or not, this woman woke up from a coma and she was in a coma for just 1 week. Now that seems like a long time, but you know, a week to be in a coma, but they had put her in an induced coma. When she got out of it, when she woke up, she said, why did you wake me up? I can't believe I'm back in this body. I lived an entire lifetime in the coma.
Oh, wow.
And, I mean, And because there's no time on the other side, time doesn't exist. Everything's happening now, as far as what I've been told and kind of what I believe now. It makes sense. Can you imagine? She's like, wait a minute, I've gone backwards because I thought I was done with this life. I had an entire other life. And now what do I do with that?
Yeah, you know, what is really interesting about that is this would be totally new to me, except for TikTok. Since I've been on TikTok, I had an encounter with somebody one time, and I did a post about her dream where she shared that she lived 40 years inside of a dream. She tells the whole story of that experience.
Wow.
And she's like, it was one night, but she like lived an entire life where she had a child and watched the child grow up.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And it's one night, and you think, but time doesn't exist. And it doesn't make sense because it just takes so, in our minds, this is still just a blip in time, our reality anyway. But, you know, it takes, you know, hopefully, you know, 90, 80, 90 years for someone to have an entire lifetime, possibly more. And to just go through a week in a coma or a night and you have an entire 40 years of life. What?
Yeah. Yeah. It's dizzying. It's totally disorienting. Right. And then sewing it together with like the conscious versus the unconscious, like way of being in the world is that like, the conscious waking mind, this is why dreams are feel so bizarre and distant from us, but they're not.
No,
is because the waking mind uses linear logic, you know, one thing equals another thing, like it's very direct.
Right.
Because that's how we have to move through this particular realm of space and time that we're in.
Yeah.
But the dream space doesn't have to do that. So you can get glimpses of the future. You can go way back in the past. You can have experiences of, you know, other realms and other lives and other worlds and stuff. It's because you're not tied to the time and space in the same way as you are when you're awake.
Right. But you know, most of my dreams, Pam, most of them don't even make sense. Like, I'm like, what? I mean, in the dream, though, while I'm doing it, it absolutely makes every bit of sense in the world. But then you're just like, you wake up and you go, what was that?
Right. My whole goal with everything is like, I want to normalize this for us. I want to normalize us going, yeah, I have no idea what that is, but I can figure it out. And then it'll all fall in place once I figure it out, right?
Yeah.
Because there is rhyme and reason to it. It's just not using the same way that your thinking brain uses to convey meaning. So there's lots of approaches you could take to make it make sense. But the bewilderment that we all experience, I still experience. Like, it's part and parcel of the whole deal. I don't wake up and go, oh, I know exactly what that means most of the time.
Exactly. You know, like when you're in your dream, you're like, oh, yeah. And you may not even be you that you're used to in your form right now. You might be somebody totally else. And then you start thinking, of course, there's my brain goes to, well, maybe you're stepping into another lifetime during that dream. You know?
Mm-hmm. Do you want to know where my wondering is about that experience? What? This is where I always come back to.
Okay.
Like, this is the conversations. These are the conversations I'm really most interested in having.
Okay.
Is, okay, you had a dream where you lived as an entirely different person.
Yeah.
You know, let's say for me, sometimes I have dreams that it's like 1800s London and I'm walking through the town. I'm walking through the cobblestone streets. Okay. So I had one of those dreams.
Okay.
So I wake up and I'm like, past life? Was that a past life? Okay. Let's say that it was.
Okay.
Now what? And that's the conversation I want to have. Not why did I have it? Was it real? Was it what? I want to say, what does that have to teach me for my life going forward this week?
Right.
What does it mean that I can tap into that level of history for myself?
Exactly.
And why, if I am revisiting a past life, why would I revisit that moment of that past life in this dream right now in this life?
Right. Well, everything's happening at once. So it's really not a past. It's actually just,
ooh, well said.
You know, it's not really a past. You just walked into it at that time and moment that was actually happening on your realm. You stepped into that one, not necessarily because it was necessarily meaningful, but that it was just happening at that moment.
Interesting. I like that a lot.
Well, you know me. I get into the nitty gritty. I mean, I understand why we're vulnerable and we walk into a classroom when we're naked. I understand why we crunch our teeth and think our teeth are all broken. I know that's anxiety ridden. I know those basic things. I think most people do. But when you get into that nitty gritty about being in a coma and living an entire life or having a dream of 40 years of an entire other lifetime in just one night, I'm like blown away by those things. So, and I wonder, you know, what's the difference between the metaphysical mind and just the physical mind? You know, they're different.
Yeah, it sounds a little bit like you're going into the difference between like my personal unconscious and the collective unconscious in yes. Jungian terms, right? Yes. So the field where we're all connected, where all time is stacked on top of each other and happening at the same time.
Exactly.
Versus yeah. my personal history from my life as Pam.
Well, let's go back to the dream part, because let's say somebody's having this really horrific dream and they can't get out of this cycle and they really are having a hard time. If they came to you, how would you interpret it? What would you say? How would you help them? You know, try to get more sleep and try to, you know, have less stress in your life. What would you try to do to help them?
Here's what I would try to do. If they came to me with a dream, good or bad, and they were like, make this make sense,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
The first thing I would do is we would get on the same page about the dream. And what I mean is I would have them tell me the dream, and I would ask really clear questions to get into the detail
okay.
so that the two of us are stepping into the as close of matching dream images as we can.
Right.
So that we're essentially trying to look at the same situation. Mm. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to go through some different practices or steps that I have in my collection. And there's a collection of courses that is in my, you can go to my website, and there's a Moonlight membership mm-hmm. and you get access to all of this information.
Okay.
And some of the things we'll do, like there are the five factors approach to dream interpretation. So we would look at what is familiar in the dream from your waking life, mm-hmm. what is odd or strange in the dream that isn't a part of your waking life. We would kind of compare those two things. We obviously look at the emotions that you experienced in the dream in order that you experienced them.
Yeah.
And kind of reflect back on, you know, is that particular combination of emotions showing up for you in any way? And then there is an intuitive aspect for me of there are certain things in a dream when people tell me that in my intuition stand out in bold
mm-hmm.
as like strong energy, like mm-hmm. there's something to explore in this part of the dream.
Mm-hmm.
And then so we kind of have just a back and forth dialogue where I stepped into the dream as if it is mine.
Okay.
And I go, okay, if I'm the dreamer, I'm wondering about this, or let's look at this piece or whatever. And what ends up happening over the course of the work is we're going to connect it to something about your waking life, but we're also going to reveal something that hasn't occurred to you yet about that waking life thing.
Mm.
Or if it's not directly connected to waking life, because let's say it's past life experience or astral projection, then there's going to be some patterns that occur in your life
mm.
that are going to be picked up in the dream. So there's always going to be this helpful kind of growing edge that the dreams are happening. They're happening like at the edge of everything that I know.
Right.
And they're giving me something new that I didn't think of yet. Some new perspective, some new approach, some new bond or connection
mm-hmm.
that's going to help me address that waking life pattern or issue better next time.
Gotcha.
Every time, that's where we're headed with dream work.
Wow. That's incredible, because I don't know if every single dream necessarily means anything. It might just be just some garbly goop in your mind. But I also think it could be a really nice counseling session that you're giving these people. It's almost like, in a way, kind of like shadow work too, where you're having to kind of face some fears and face some realities that you don't want to face maybe too, right?
Yeah. The thing that I like to say is that dreams are telling you a truth, not the truth.
Mm.
They're telling you a truth you didn't realize yet, or you haven't fully expressed yet, or you haven't admitted yet.
Oh.
So they're helping you do that. It's definitely shadow work, which is, I think, another reason people maybe even unconsciously resist the dream
yeah.
work. Like
yeah.
they'll say like, oh, you do dreams? Cool. I don't have any. Or,
<Right? laughs>
oh, you do dreams? That's awesome. I had this freaky dream, but I think it's because I ate pizza the night before.
Right.
And they like walk away. I'm like, cool, I gotcha. don't want to know. Okay.
Well, you know, and when you're dealing with things in the mind, though, I mean, to me, that's the most interesting thing, because it just could be, and I say this all the time on the podcast, I think in this realm, almost anything's possible as far as what we can do with our minds, because we can make ourselves sick. I think we can heal ourselves to a certain extent, depending on our attitude and all those things. But then there's also that possibility of just digging deep and going, what's making me do this? And let's figure it out. And then when you say, oh, okay, you still haven't forgiven somebody, or you still haven't forgiven yourself, or whatever it is. And how healing can that be? Oh my God.
Right. That's right. Because once you know something, you can't unknow it. Right.
Yes.
So once you realize, like, oh, this is the pattern that I'm repeating that's making me continue to run into this type of person.
Yes.
And the dream reveals it to you in a way that makes sense to you on like a cellular level.
Yeah.
I want to explain that a little bit better. But when you get a big aha like that, mm-hmm. where suddenly this weird dream about showing up naked in a classroom is like, oh my God, I can now have control over that behavior because mm-hmm. I understand it.
Yes.
Intuitively, I understand it. And this is the cellular part, Leslie.
Yeah.
The place in your mind where a real life event happens is the same place in your mind where that event would happen if you dreamt it only. Okay.
Okay.
So if you swing a bat and hit a baseball in real life, the MRI, yeah. certain parts of your brain will light up. If you dream about swinging a bat and hitting a baseball, the same places in your brain light up. And what that means is
nice. Yes.
that dreams are cellular memories. Mm. So you can use the dream as if it is a real thing. So you could choose the good dreams, the good outcomes,
yes.
the good symbols that really resonate, or those experiences and dreams that feel like you have a visitation from a loved one that is divine and holy. You can take that as something that truly happened because your brain doesn't know the difference.
Would you consider that the same thing that you could do within a meditation session as well?
Yes. Yeah. The crossover between dreams and visions or intuitive hits or downloads, it's a very simple step from yeah. one side to the other side. The language is the same. And right. that's another benefit of doing dream work on a regular basis, is that you're learning to get in touch with your intuition in its natural environment.
Because, you know, and I've told people on the podcast too, my psychic friends, they always say, you know, hey, if you need a little boost of, you know, whatever for your body and you're not feeling well or whatever, just take yourself to the healing temple every night or a couple nights a week or whatever. And I do that for myself and I feel a lot better. And I imagine it. I'm not asleep yet. I just get into a very quiet space before I go to sleep. And I just imagine, you know, whatever I imagine every single time, the same thing every time. And I'm not kidding. I literally feel better.
Yes, right. It is so useful. It's such a useful tool.
Yes.
And that in-between state when you are dropping off to sleep
yeah.
or when you're trying to wake up in the morning, but you're in that like snooze phase.
Yeah.
That's such a potent time to do that type of work.
Oh,
so potent.
Okay. Yeah.
Because you're in that liminal headspace already and you're tapping into both conscious and unconscious spaces of your mind. Really easily.
Yes, because you just confirmed it for me. You just confirmed that all that stuff, that work that I do really does work. Not that I doubted it, but it really does. You just said you can swing a bat in your mind or you can swing a bat, you know, physically. You're still going to have the same results because you're still stimulating the same parts of your brain.
That's it.
Wow.
That's it. Exactly.
Wow. Oh my gosh. Okay, so if somebody were to want some help from you, whether it's just a dream analysis or whatever else you can offer them, how do they find you? Tell me everything about your social media, all the things.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. My brand is Sweet Georgia Pam.
Yes.
So you can find at Sweet Georgia Pam on Instagram and on TikTok. My website is sweetgeorgiapam.com. It's real simple. And then from there, really, there are three options. You can hire me to do a dream interpretation in a session.
Okay.
I also offer spiritual direction, and I am spiritually independent. It's really doesn't have anything to do with my spiritual beliefs. It's about what you bring to the table.
Okay.
But spiritual direction is that sort of regular check-in with your own inner spiritual journey and how that's going.
Okay.
And it's an easy crossover, like we just talked about, between dreams and intuition and spiritual work. And then the third, of course, is the Moonlight membership that I just launched a couple of months ago. So the Moonlight membership will get you access to three courses about how DreamWork works. You get the basics, you get the five factors approach course, and then you get an introduction to your hidden self, which is the deeper work that DreamWork offers. And then also there's an online community inside of the membership called the Moonlight Manor House, where we do live events, and you can find all sorts of resources and share your own thoughts and all sorts of good stuff.
Well, see, that would be so nice, because you could get in there and nobody thinks you're crazy, because you go in there and tell them your dreams. Nobody's calling you names. And,
you know, for me, moonlighting is this, it's my new favorite term, right? Because it's kind of this idea that my inner life, which is driven by intuition and self-reflection and things of the moon that are symbolic of the moon, right? That inner life comes out during the day in the form of moonlighting. Like, there are synchronicities that happen, and I'm like, oh, that's my inner life showing up.
Oh, wow.
So the moonlighting is this term that I'm trying to build up, because it's my new favorite way to refer to myself as a moonlighter.
I love it. I think it's fantastic. And it's a great way to explain it too. So, girl, you have been amazing. I may have to have you back, because I'm probably going to have questions from my listeners. They'll be like, why didn't you ask her this? And I'll say, okay, I'll have her back on. So, but thanks again for being on the podcast. It's been amazing. Thank you.
I love talking to you, Leslie, anytime.
Well, I love providing because I want to know at no cost. So if you like what you heard, please leave me a 5-star review, or you can just buy me a cup of coffee. It's kind of like a Patreon, but you don't have a monthly subscription and you can give whatever you feel led to give. I am a one-woman show, and I do all of my scheduling and my interviewing and my editing. So just know your support is so greatly appreciated. And one more thing, I am a paranormal romance novelist, and you can find all of my books on Amazon. Just look up my name. I'm very easy to find. Thank you guys again, and I will see you next week.